Good morning, Calvary Chapel. It is so good to be with you guys this morning in my old high school. What a privilege to be here as one church to bring Jesus in this place, to exalt him. How many of you in Spencerport believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? Would you just bless his name? Amen. Amen. We have so much to be excited for. This is the greatest weekend of the year for the Christian as we celebrate and we commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you know him, you're excited about that, aren't you? I mean, there is a great just excitement. There's a great hope that fills this room. If you don't know him, I'm going to give you a chance at the end of this message to be introduced to him. But let me get through a few things of God's word that I want to share with you first. And let's just start by thanking the Lord for all that he has done. I mean, you look at what he has done. He has been so good. Amen. So let's just bow our heads and our hearts. Calvary kids, welcome to church. We're so glad to have you in here with us. What a blessing to see your faces and your outfits. You look so nice. Such a blessing to have you here with your parents in this room together. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for every man and woman and child that you have brought here today. And God, we are grateful that you are in this place. Jesus, you said that when two or three are gathered in your name, that there you would be in the midst of us. And Lord, we sense your presence. And we are so grateful. You are the guest of honor. We are grateful that you have shown up. Lord, we love the worship team. We love the choir. God, we love your word. But there is no one like you. And we are glad that you are in this place. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to make Jesus known to every soul here today. That my mouth would speak forth your heart. And that you'd captivate the listeners, God. And that you would accomplish your purposes that you've set out to do before the creation of the world. We love you, we exalt you, we magnify you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. So it's been a very exciting weekend, not just because I'm a Christian and I celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also because of the events of my family's weekend that took place. I'm sure you know, I haven't been on for the last few days really, but I'm sure you've seen on Facebook and on Instagram and every other social media device that Josiah and Mary Ellie are having a little baby boy. Amen. You can certainly celebrate that. Me and Daniel have been failing. We've been producing girls the last. I'm going to throw him under the bus with me because I'm going to exalt him in a minute. So I'm going to throw him under the bus for a second. We've been giving girl after girl after girl. And so Josiah stepped in here and he produced a boy for our family just to add to the mix and to balance things out a little bit. There's too many girls right now. So another boy will sort of balance things out. And it gives Macy, Daniel's baby, somebody to beat up. If you've never seen Macy before, look at her after service and you'll see those forearms. You'll understand. But we gathered together last night for this baby reveal. And I feel like I could do a whole bit on baby reveals today. Things have changed since when I had babies. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, they didn't do that when we had Olivia 12. You know, Shauna was pregnant with Olivia 12, almost 13 years ago. The baby reveals, the way that they've sort of evolved, you know, it went from just cutting a slice of cake to being blue or pink to now my brother and Marielle, they did these boxes, you know, boy or girl, and they had them all lined up on the counter, and they took turns opening the boxes. How many of you saw this on social media? Look at this. This is unbelievable. I can't even tell you any news. I can't even fill you in on anything. This just happened not even 12 hours ago. Anyways, and so they're taking turns. If you didn't see it, now, they're taking turns opening these boxes, and one of the boxes, out of all of these boxes that are there, has a bathing suit in there, whether it be a blue shorts or a pink full suit. Tommaso girls have to wear full suits till they're 45 years old. Then they can wear two pieces. And so they're going back and forth, and of course, the blue shorts fall out, and Josiah and Maria, they go nuts. They're excited. They're going to have this baby boy. So later on in the night, as everyone's sort of clearing out where we were gathered, me, Daniel, if you don't know, if you're visiting today, the worship leader, Daniel, he's my brother right underneath me, and then Josiah is the one who I should have sent out here. You would have thought he was me to preach. He's the one who greeted all of you in the beginning. He's the baby brother. We have an older sister involved in this story right now. So we're gathered together. She's the family favorite, so right now we're going to just exclude her for a second and just talk about us boys. So we're together, and we're talking, you know, and Marielle and Josiah, I don't know if they realized what they were doing to my heart, but they're saying to Daniel things like, oh, you can teach him how to play baseball. And I'm like getting ready to chime in like, yeah, I used to play third base. And they just moved to the next thing. You could teach him how to wrestle. And I'm thinking, I hold the wrestling record. and modified, but nonetheless, in Spencerport for 7 second pin. Like, you know, I'm right here too, you know, and you could teach them how to sing, and you could teach them how to do this and how to do that. And I'm thinking, man, there are a lot of things that Daniel's going to teach this kid. And so they sort of look at me out of, I think they felt like pity, and they say, you know, you could teach him how to preach. And I'm thinking, that is so rude. You know, for real. That's, just picture this with me for a minute. Imagine the scene. David, you know, my nephew David Jr., they'll name him David John, of course, I would assume, you know, he'll be with my brother Daniel and Josiah playing baseball in the yard and having a great time. He'll love when Uncle Dino, the kids call him, come over. But then I'll pull up, and Josiah will have to say, you know, David, it's time for you to go learn how to preach with Uncle Dave. I mean, he's going to hate me, this kid. Who? How's that going to look? You know, he's going to have to go in the house and learn how to preach. This is ridiculous. I've really got not much else to offer, though. As they said it to me, I'm thinking, I can't even, like, rebuttal this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm going to teach this kid. I've got nothing, really, to teach him. Charlo can teach him some things. He's very talented as a boy. But me, I don't really have. I'm a one-trick pony. But it was a donkey that Jesus rode in on the triumphal entry that paraded him and exalted him. So I'll take that. In Exodus chapter 3, I believe that Jesus, before he came into this world through the virgin birth, he showed up in the burning bush and he revealed himself to Moses. You've seen this movie, I'm sure, the movie of the scriptures. And he reveals himself and says, I want you to be the nation's great deliverer out of the bondage of Egypt, your slaves, and I want to make a nation out of you. And I want you to go and tell my people that I've sent you to do this. And you're going to stand before Pharaoh and you're going to demand that he lets my people go. So Moses, apprehensive, he said, well, who am I going to say sent me? And he said, tell them, I am sent you. I am, yes, tell him that I am, you know, the all self-eternal, self-existing, all-powerful God. Tell them that I am whatever you need me to be. That's who sent you. That's my name. I am. Ego Emi. Tell them that's who sent you. And then Jesus, thousands of years later, comes into this world through the virgin birth, and he begins his earthly ministry around the age of 30, and he gives more insight to what that name I am means. 7 times in the Gospel of John, he says, I am this, I am that, and he lists a bunch of things that are his attributes, that are his contributions to humanity. That's why I told you that story before. I don't really have a lot of contributions to humanity, but Jesus came on the scene, and he said outstanding things, more than I am a great baseball teacher, I am a great wrestler, or I am a great, you know, speaker, or anything else that we would exalt. Jesus said things like this. Let me tell you, John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If a man eats of me, he will never hunger or thirst again. That's a good one. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's a really good one. Because men are walking in darkness, and they're stumbling, and they're tripping, and they're messing their lives up. He said, I'm the light of the world. I illuminate wherever I am. It's a good one. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Psalm 23 says that he is our shepherd, but Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I lead you. I make paths straight for you. I guide you. I go before you. I really appreciate that one. He also said in John chapter 10 that I am the door. I am the door. I'm the door to the kingdom of heaven. I'm the entrance. Every building has an entrance. You all came in through various entrances this morning. Well, the kingdom of God has only one. And Jesus said, I am that door. And as a door, I'm the protector from anyone or anything invading my kingdom. That's who I am. His fifth I am statement is the one we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, so I'm not going to tell you it yet. But then he said in John chapter 14, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Powerful. And then last but not least is I am statements. The seventh one is in John chapter 15 when he said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. All you have to do, follower me, is abide in me, and there will be great fruit, great attributes that flow from your life that are in me that as you're plugged into me, they'll flow through you. You don't have to produce anything. You don't have to work anything up within yourself. I'll do it all. You just abide in me. You just stay attached to me. You just stay close to me. But the one that I want to really talk about this morning and open up for just a few minutes here is this.
It's the fifth one. When Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Well, that's a powerful one. That's a very powerful. And on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter morning, the day that we celebrate him defeating the grave, I thought that's the one that we should talk about. So let me build this scene for you, and then we'll look at a few scriptures together. Jesus is very close to the cross in John chapter 11. Some say he's within a week of going to the cross. He's at the end of his life here on earth. And he comes to Bethany, it tells us in John chapter 11. He goes to be with friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Those were his good friends. He was with them often. It seemed like he really enjoyed his relationship that he had with them. And as he makes his way to the city, you know, there's one brother, two sisters, and the sisters are like mother bears. They're overprotective, and they're like little Italian women, these little Jewish women. They're bold, they're not afraid, and they tell you like it is. And so the one sister comes, Martha, when Jesus gets to the city, and she's upset with Jesus because her brother Lazarus had gotten sick and died. And he had been dead for days. His funeral had begun. People had come to mourn. She's really upset and rattled. There's a lot of emotions going. And Jesus comes to town, and she greets him with, Lord, and I picture it with her mappino over her shoulder, the thing she used to dry the towels with for you Murugans. And then, you know, I picture her finger in his face, saying, if you had been here, this would never have happened to my brother. You should have been here. And she's upset. She's disappointed. Her heart is broken because death came to her family, like death comes to all of our families. Every single one of us will eventually die one day. We'll all experience death. We're all experiencing death. We've lost loved ones, brothers, sisters, parents, sadly, even children. And we all have to face this. And she's upset, like you're upset at times. And she blames God, like maybe you blame God for what's happened in your life. And she says, you failed my expectations, essentially. If you were here, this would have never happened. And there's a crowd of people that are gathered together, and there's commotion going on, and people are weeping. And Jesus makes his way to where Lazarus was buried. And then he gets it again from Mary. Mary comes, and I picture her to be a little bit more sweeter and gentler and humbler. And she comes and she falls at the feet of Jesus. That's where she often was. And she said, Lord, if you had been here, if you were here, this would have never happened to my brother, the one that we love so much. Now, at this point, Jesus is weeping. At this point, Jesus is making noises where a noise like what a horse does when it goes into battle and it flares its nostrils and sort of, you know, sorry if I just spit on you. That's just the beginning of it. And he, I believe, is so brokenhearted for this family, like he is for all of humanity, that death was never supposed to be. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with sin. The shedding of his blood provides the remission, the cleansing for sins. But when Jesus got up from the grave, for them then, it was a few days out. For us now, it was a couple thousand years back. They didn't fully understand yet the hope that he had given to them. He who believes in me will never, ever die. A double negative in the Greek. In the English, that's bad grammar. In the Greek, it's powerful. I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will never, ever die. They didn't fully get that. They didn't fully understand that. So they're weeping, he's crying, he's frustrated, understanding that he was going to eventually give victory over the grave, man's ultimate enemy. When he would rise again after 3 days of his crucifixion, that's when he would defeat death. He's the first fruits of resurrection, and all those who would believe in him would also experience that eternal life. You understand? I'm the resurrection, and I am the life. If you believe in me as your Savior King, you will never, ever die, but rather your death will be your entrance into my kingdom. So there's this eternal hope. There's this hope for your soul, who you are into eternity, that you can go on into his glory if you believe in him. But it's more than that. He comes to the grave. Hang with me for a second. I'll explain to you what I'm trying to say. He comes to the grave and he says to those who are there in verse 39 of John chapter 11, if you could even see in your Bibles, and he says, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, she said to him, Lord, By this time, he stinketh. You know, in the King James, when the ETH is at the end, it's the perfect present tense. It's a he stinketh, like he really stinks bad. He stinks and he continually stinks and he won't stop stinking. He's really stinky. For he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, I say unto you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he cry with a loud voice? So that we would hear him today, I believe. So that those words would resound in our ears today with great power and authority. Why did he say the name Lazarus specifically? Because if he didn't, all that gravesite, that whole graveyard would have, you know, opened up and people would become walking out of their tombs. Lazarus, come forth. There's been a recall. This is not an April Fool's Day joke. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot. I'll explain this to you in a second. In grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus said words that are just blessing me so much this week. He said these words, loose him, set him free, deliver him, and let him go. I've got different plans for him other than death. Now, let me tell you something this morning, please. Of course, ultimately and supremely, this is about eternal life. Every single one of us has a soul within us. It's going to go on for eternity. There's only two directions it can go. Regardless of what's been in the news this week about hell not being a real place and people just disappearing if they're not moral or religious, that's nonsense. Hell's a real place. And you either go that route or you go into glory that God has made a way for us to have access to. Jesus said the only prerequisite is that you would believe on my name unto salvation. It's not behavior, it's belief. If you believe in me as your Savior King, you have eternal life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I have the authority to tell you that. But there's something more here this morning. I think there's also this. Because I'm the resurrection and the life, I think it's not just physical. When we die and we take our last breath and our bodies go into the grave, it's not just our bodies are going to be resurrected and go into glory. I think it's also spiritual. I think it's also this morning. I think it's Jesus saying to you, hey, you're here today because it's Easter Sunday. You're here today because you've been invited. You're here today because this is what you're supposed to do on this Sunday morning. You're supposed to go to church. And maybe you're thinking, I'm doing this for God. But God, I think, would have me say to you, this is what I want to do for you. I want to resurrect you, and I want to give you life. You are bound. You are tied up. And I want to set you free. I want to deliver you. And it's more obvious to some people than to others that you're bound. Some of us understand that we're bound, and we don't know what to do about it. Some of us understand that apart from some miraculous event touching our lives, there will be no freedom. Some of us understand that, and we're desperate. We're waiting for the affection and the attention of Jesus to be poured out upon us. We're longing for it. But other of us, we're blinded, and we don't even realize our state. Either which way, Jesus says to all of humanity, whoever believes on me will never, ever die, but you'll have this life that I bring to you as the one who is the resurrection and the life. In other words, it's not just an event, it's me. It's not just this instance in your life that I'm going to bring to you one day, but this is a window into what God can do for every human being who takes him up on this offer right now in the present, the life that he wants to give. He wants to resurrect. He wants to give life. He wants to loose you from what binds you. We're living in a day and age. This opioid epidemic is plaguing our nation. Over 170 people a day die from these substances. Statisticians say that by 2020, 1 million people will be dead if something doesn't happen. You look at the hopelessness and the helplessness of our culture. You look at how many people are depressed. They're in a dark tunnel. They experience anxiety that paralyzes them. You look at the alcohol consumption. You look at the pornography statistics. You look at these things, and Jesus steps on the scene and says this to you. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the one who got up from the grave. I'm going to deliver your soul for eternity. I can deliver you right now in the state that you are in, and I can give you newness of life today. See, this is what sets Jesus apart from anyone else, any other guru, any other prophet, any other God. He can step on the scene. He can be here this morning and say to you by his Spirit, I can call you forth like I called forth Lazarus from your grave, figuratively speaking, where you are bound. For the Jews then, this would have been impossible. 4 days dead. That's it. It's over. Rigor mortis would have already set in. The body would be stiff and firm, beginning from the head all the way down to the feet. The blood would have already clotted. It would already have separated. There would already have been the loosening of the joints and the muscles. The brain would have already turned to mush. The eyes would have already disappeared. This is impossible. This is ludicrous. By 4 days, the Jews had this tradition that the spirit would hover over the body for the first 3 days in case the person would resuscitate. But by the fourth day, the person would be so unrecognizable, the spirit would depart. By 4 days, medically speaking, there's no, did we mix this one up here? Is that person really alive that we put in that tombstone? No, we know for sure that they are dead and gone. Jesus waits for what man says, this is impossible for life to come again into this being. And then he stands forth at that grave. And he says with authority, because he is the resurrection and the life, Lazarus, come forth now. And there had to be obedience. And then this is the reason I'm calling you forth, so that I can loose you and I can set you free. I'm not calling you from something for nothing. I'm calling you from something unto something, newness of life. You're not bound anymore. You're not tied up anymore, because they would have been. He would have had a shroud put over him, wrapped completely, double the length of his body, wrapped completely from head to toe. His hands would be tied to his side. His knees would be tied together. His ankles would be tied together. He would have had a separate shroud or napkin over his face. He was completely mummified. For him to get up, for the joints to come back together, for the muscles to rejuvenate strength, for the organs to function again, for the blood to flow through his body after it's already been separated and coagulated, for all this to happen, for the brain to take its structure again, for the eyeballs to take form, this is a miracle of God. But an even greater miracle of God, I believe, maybe not greater, but just as great of a miracle, is when he takes people from ashes and he resurrects them unto newness of life. Because he's a resurrection and a life. That's what he does. He says this to you. You could be addicted to this. This could define your life up to this moment. There could be a deadness of your spirit. No relationship with God. But when I step, see, when Jesus steps in, this is what he came to do. He calls us forth from that. And he says, these things no longer have to define you. You're no longer a mummy anymore. You're no longer walking around like a zombie, spaced out. It no longer has to happen. I have come to set you free. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. That's what Jesus does. But he does more. How many people this morning are stiff and bound by religion? They're stiff and bound by religion. It's not just for the addict. Listen, I get real frustrated when I hear about, oh, the gospel's for the broken, the gospel's for those who are on the streets, the gospel's for the harlot, the whore on Lyle Ave. That's what the gospel's for. No, listen to me, please. The gospel is for every single one of us, starting here with me. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ for every single one of us. And some of us this morning are bound and stiffened, not by outward sin necessarily, certainly inwardly, and we all know it. Certainly inwardly. We might not do what others do. No way. We would never. Not. We would never want anyone to see us and have a reputation tainted. We look the part. In fact, you know, we would intimidate others that would be around us if that was ever even suggested, that we have something going on in our lives that bounds us. But we know within us, we are bent towards things that we can't have victory over. We can't stop looking at those images in bed. We can't stop putting those substances within us in order to go to sleep at night. It's the only way that we can. We're dependent on these things internally, but nobody would ever know, because externally we've got our hair parted, we've got our sports coat on, we work a nice job, no one would ever know. Jesus knows. But how about the religious people in this country, in our culture, who are stiff and bound, and they think, if I'm going to follow Jesus, if I'm going to take the resurrection and the life up on his offer to come forth from my lifestyle into newness of life, I've got to change. I've got to do this and I've got to do that, because that's all you know of God. You think you've got to put money in the basket when it's passed. We don't even do that at our church back home. We've had so many people ask when we're not at our church if we could do that, because they want to give to God. That's all that is. God doesn't need your money. We don't need your money. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, I've got to do this, and I've got to memorize certain scriptures. I got to stop drinking. I can't have a beer. I can't have a glass of wine with my steak. There's all this idea. It's a stiff, you know, brand of religion that is preconceived in man's minds. And we don't understand that, man, this is bondage. And Jesus says, I've never called you to that. I didn't call you to be stiff. I didn't call you to be uniform, that every single one of you look the same. I love diversity. I love diversity. I love the way that you are. I've called you to be free, to be who you are in me. You know that? Jesus can be saying that to some of you here today. You're here at church, and it's been a while since you've been at church. You've been burned by the church. You've been offended by the church, and you think that that's what it has to be. Everybody's cookie cutter. Everybody's got to look the same. Jesus, I'm here this morning saying this to you. Loose him, loose her, and set them free from religiosity. I'm calling you to a relationship with me, the resurrection and the life. I'm going to set you free today. I'm going to set you free today. I created, if you're a free bird, if you like to wear no shoes at church, it doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't care. Listen, Jesus loves people. Jesus, the friend of sinners, that's what he was regarded to be. That's who he was. I mean, Jesus, he just loved people. He loves you here today. He came to this world to die the death that you and I deserve to die. And he extends this message, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. I want to give you new life. Listen, today he says this to you. I want old things to pass away, whatever. Religiosity, sin issues inward, sin issues outward, whatever it is that defines you, you know. I want today to be the day where you have surety spiritually and you have surety physically of the resurrection power that I have that I can give to you. I want today to be the day that you encounter me and walk out of here in newness of life. Old things passed away, all things become new. Today, Jesus says, because I have that authority. Nobody else, this is what sets him apart. Nobody else has that authority, not even you over your own self. You can't control your death. I don't care who you are, I don't care how much money you have or how powerful you are. Not a person in this world can control their death. When it's time for us to go, it's appointed for every man to die. And only God knows that appointment that he has to meet us face to face. Only he can say when we're going to take our last breath ultimately. But listen, we also don't even have our power within us to change ourselves. Do we? We don't even have power within ourselves to change ourselves. We can't even say, you know what, I'm sick of being this person and doing these things. I'm going to change forevermore. We slip up. We mess up. And even when you come to Jesus, that still happens. But he gives you a new spirit, new life. And he gives you ability. He gives you the ability to overcome. So here's what I'm saying this morning. Here's what I feel. This is what I want to say to you. I believe that Jesus put on my heart to tell you a couple of things in closing. Number one, I feel like he put on my heart to call this message, get out of the grave. If you're here this morning, I believe he wants to say to you, get out of the grave, whatever that grave is in your life. He wants you to get out of that grave. He wants to loosen you, and he wants to set you free unto himself, and he wants to experience a relationship with you. That's what he came to this world to do, provide access to have a relationship with God Almighty. And he's calling you to that today. He wants every, whether it's for the first time ever or anew, he's calling you back to himself or he's calling you unto himself initially. He's doing that right now and he wants you to get out of that grave. You've got to do that though. You've got to respond. Lazarus had to come forth. You personally this morning, you got free will. You could do whatever you want with this. But he's saying to you, I've provided all the power that you need. Just like at Lazarus's tomb, man, everyone said this is impossible. His body's fully decayed. It's decomposed. People maybe around you would say, this person will never believe. I'm surprised the place didn't burn down with them here. Jesus said, oh, forget that. I don't just save to the uttermost, I save to the guttermost. And if I'm calling you today, despite what man might say of you or about you, you can receive and believe if you choose to. And I believe he would say that to us. I believe this morning he would tell me to tell you to get out of the grave, whatever that grave is, and take him up on this offer of what that means to be the resurrection life, that resurrecting power that he supplies. So Daniel and the worship team, they're going to come, and they're going to take us through a song. And I'm going to ask you to respond to the love of God. I'm going to ask you to respond to Jesus' heart for you. That if you have yet to say, Lord, I want to take you up on this. I want to know that I know, first of all, dealing with the physical, Lord, I want to know that I know that when I take my last breath, Lord, that I'm going to be with you in glory.
I want to know, Lord, that death is not the end of the road, but a bend in the road, Lord. And when I take that bend, Lord, and I open my eyes and I'm standing before you, I want to know that I am yours and that you are mine. And I'm going to have access as you are the door into your kingdom. I got to know that. So if you're here today, we'll deal with that one first, and then we'll deal with the other thing secondly in just a second. If you are here today and you've got to make that calling and election sure, despite what anybody else thinks or says, I'm going to ask you to make a bold move. I'm going to ask you in just a second to come down here right in front of me here. And I know maybe some of you are thinking, Pastor, that's kind of, you know, it's embarrassing. And, you know, I don't know if I want to be put on spectacle for everybody to see. Listen, Jesus died on a tree for you and me. He was put on spectacle for all of history to see. And he said that if you profess me before men, I'll profess you before the Father and all the hosts of heaven. So there's no shame in that. Who cares if anybody else thinks? I'm sure Lazarus, when he walked out like a mummy, that was a little bit awkward too. Tripping maybe as he's walking out, waiting to be loosed and set free. Hey, if that's you here today and people's hearts are right, we're not going to laugh at your scorn. We're going to celebrate. We're going to stand up. We're going to clap our hands. We're going to welcome you to the kingdom of God. So we've got some pastors here. If you make your way to the front, some elders. If you're here this morning, we're going to go through this song. And I'm going to ask you during the course of this song that you'd come and that you'd stand. You'd receive Jesus. That's what you're doing. You're not becoming a member of my church. You're not giving money, email information, addresses. We don't want any of that. We just want to tell you about Jesus and make sure that you know that you know that you are his and that he is yours. And that Easter is so much more. It is so much more than what the world paints it to be. It is the most glorious day ever because it's the day that our Savior rose again. So if you want to come and receive, you come. Jesus said, whoever would believe will never, ever die. That's open for every single person, black and white, in between. Somebody who's got a track record, a criminal record, that they're ashamed of. Somebody who is working behind a desk, making tons of money. It doesn't matter who you are. You come today. Jesus is waiting for you. Come and stand. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a minute. Come now. Come to Jesus now. Come on. Come out of your chair and come to Jesus. We're going to wait for you. We're going to celebrate with you. They're going to take us through a song. You can come to Jesus if you're here today. God bless you. Just come. Come on.
And all things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. And your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. And you cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be an anthem song. And Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you. And you are the one now. Our hearts adore. The hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. And all that was lost has found its place in you. And you lift our weary head. And you make us strong instead. And you took these rags and made us beautiful. Done, we will pour out our love. This will be an anthem song. And Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you. And you are the one our hearts adore. Sing Jesus. Jesus, we love. hearts of glory, in the hearts of glory, adore you, Jesus, in the hearts of glory, in the hearts of glory, in our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus, our affection and our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus, our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus, our affection and our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. We love you.
Thank you, God.
And oh, how we love you, yeah. And you are the one I
our voices.
Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you.
You are
the one now. A heart alone.
I want to tell you guys, first of all, just how blessed we are to be in your presence. To take a stand for Jesus. And praise, and so heaven is rejoicing, we are rejoicing. But I want to be honest with you before I lead you in a prayer. You know, Jesus is the resurrection of life. He calls you forth from the grave. He calls you from what binds you and has bound you for so long. And those things will still be there. Those things will still be there where they will seek to plague you at times and to hold you back. But Jesus is greater than that. But I want to tell you right now, in case nobody ever else tells you again, and in case I never get to see you again, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you, just because you struggle doesn't mean that this isn't real. I want to tell you that we all struggle. Amen, church? We all struggle. But we go from grace to grace. We go from glory to glory. And he's making us new. He's making us like him. It's a process. Be patient. Let the Lord have his way and look to him. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's the resurrection and he is the life. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. So I'm going to ask those of you who are standing here before me this morning, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to stop and go, stop and go. As I stop, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me what I shared, if you believe this in your heart. So church, if you would bow your heads and your hearts in prayer, and those of you who are here up front, if you would repeat out loud, the Bible says, with your mouth, out loud for all to hear after I speak. Here we are. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart. And please be the Lord of my life. Please change me. Please make me new. Help me to walk with you and to follow you all of my days. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you for rising again. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. God bless you. You guys can be seated if you like, but if you'd like to talk to a pastor, somebody from our leadership team, the guys are lined right over here. You can make your way over that way if you'd like. Otherwise, you can go back to your seat, and afterwards, you can come find one of us. We'll be out in the foyer waiting to talk with you, to greet you. Church, would you just continue to rejoice with these new brothers and sisters? Would you just clap your hands and thank Jesus for what he has shown us? His glory this morning.
resurrecting people, giving them newness of life. Old things have passed away. All things today have become new. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's not just an emotional thing. As you guys walk back to your seat, listen, please. You might leave here today and say, gee, I don't really feel different. Neither do I. I mean, as I'm pulling in here today, I'm thinking, man, I always think when I pull into Spencer High School, my senior year, right before I graduated, skipping school and laying down in my buddy's back seat. And as I lift my head up thinking we're clear, there the principal is pulling in, waving at me. She said, I'll see you when you get back from lunch. I'll never forget. Now here I am telling you about Jesus and being a new creature in Christ. He changes people. But listen, we don't always feel different. It's not just an emotional tizzy that he seeks to work us up in. We receive him by faith, not feelings. And as we take what his word says and we make it our own, he changes us. And he increases our faith and he makes us new. We battle, we all do, but we find strength from him and one another. You are welcome to join our church anytime you would like. We would love to have you with us. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome. Now before we close in this last song of rejoicing, listen please, before we close in this last song of rejoicing, I want to extend one last invitation. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward again. I'm just going to ask you this. If you're a brother or sister in the Lord and you've been bound, something has had you bound up. Something has had you tight. Something has had you restricted. There's not joy in your life. Jesus wants his relationship with you to be joyous. There's not joy. It's turned to religion. It's turned to works and routine and ritualism. And you feel dried up. And you want Jesus to set you free. He's still the resurrection of life. He wants to reinforce that in your life today. Maybe sin has crept in. Whenever there's sin, by the way, let me tell you, whenever you know Jesus, because you're room for this world. So whenever you know Jesus and you seek to live what you used to live before you came to Jesus, you're miserable. You know too much about Jesus to enjoy the world, but you're having too much of the world to enjoy Jesus. It just doesn't work. It's the most miserable person on the planet. And if that's you here today, you feel like you've been dead. You feel like your spirit is dried up. Jesus wants to loose you and set you free. Today, on this Easter Sunday. So you just raise your hand. We're not going to go through a song. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, if that describes you, or even something that I didn't say, but you know in your heart, yeah, just raise your hand to Jesus. I'm going to pray for you. You just raise your hand to the resurrection and the life, not just an event, but a person. See, this is what happens when you encounter Jesus. He changes everything. So you just raise your hand to Jesus. Yeah, keep them lifted. Jesus, I pray for all these hands of all your sons and daughters in this auditorium that are raised to you. You know what those hands represent, God. You know the sin issues. You know the struggles. You know the battle. You know, Lord, what has set in and crept into their lives. And I pray, Jesus, that you would break that chain this morning. I pray that you would set these captives free once again like you did before, Lord, when they first came to you. We look to you. You are the hope of the world. You are the hope of our lives. You are able. So bless these people, Lord, that have their hands raised. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let love abound. Let joy overflow. Let peace reign in their hearts. We thank you, God. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We want to sing this last song to you this morning, Lord. We want to make these walls shake as we lift our voices. God, we want to lift our hands. We want to rejoice in you, the finished work of redemption. We are so grateful to you. We are so grateful for you. We lift your name up, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all God's people said at Spencerport Auditorium, amen. Let's rise to our feet. Lord, bless you. Have a great Easter.